folks that never seen me before. Amen. I'm a good looking
rascal, ain't I? Somebody say amen. I see, is that Lloyd Tucker sitting over there? Is Lloyd here? I thought that was Lloyd. Yeah. Ugly Junior White, where'd he get to? He's where? Oh, my gracious, in the kitchen. A lot of faces I don't see, though, that were here in 1982. That's how long it's been since I was pastor here. That's been a long time. Been a lot of water under the bridge. But I still see Gary there and Miss Linda. Good to see them. And the little girl was flirting with me, come to find out it was her granddaughter. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. Always a blessing to come and back home, as you might say, because we were born and raised in the suburbs of Winnebago. We weren't raised downtown. We were in the suburbs. Matter of fact, a lot of people don't know, but that right there where you go through, that's not Winnebago. Do you know that? If you turn to the left, coming from this way, and about a mile off 17, the road divides. That's Winnebago. Look on your map sometime. That's Winnebago. But I was born and raised. There was a member of Town Creek Baptist Church, got saved there, baptized at Pretty Pond. How many's ever heard of Pretty Pond? Yeah. Judy, you about to fade away, huh? Good to see you. Where's Waddell? Yeah. Now, the rest of you folks, I don't know you. But you're in for a show, amen. Because we're going to have a good time. And where's Emily? Hey, Emily. She's got a whole house full of girls, isn't she? Didn't I marry one of them? Which one was it? You? Hey, baby. But anyway, Mary Ann, she's back there. See her. And Diane, of course, and the rest of you. As Thomas will say, son. Y'all, some of you didn't know Thomas. He had a finger that was kind of crooked. He looked like son. But that's good times in the past. Amen. You know, I just love to hear old people talk, don't y'all? Because I'm getting there. I'll be 51 next week. Amen, Joe. Priscilla. Y'all know better, don't you? Know the good Lord's will, the creek don't rise. April 17th, next year, I'll be 75 years old. And ladies, I know I don't look it. Amen, ladies.
Amen.
See there? That's my wife. She'd tell you right quick. I don't look it, but sometimes I act like it. Hadn't worn glasses in 12 years about a month ago, and I'm getting adjusted to them. So if I pull them off, and don't pay me no attention, but I even have to take them off to read sometime. You know, I don't think eye doctors know everything. They think they do, but I found out they don't know quite as much. But anyway, like I said a few moments ago, I just love to hear old people talk, don't you? Really, you do. I learned a lot from my granddaddy and so forth back in the years. But John come walking up in the yard one day at Frank's house, and Frank was sitting on the front porch, and John said, "Frank, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm putting here this puzzle together." He said, "Puzzle?" He said, "Yeah," he said, "I've been enjoying it so much." He said, "Matter of fact," he said, "I broke a record on this puzzle." He said, "You have?" He said, "What'd you do, Frank?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'll tell you what right now." He said, "I broke a big record." He said, "I just finished this thing today." He said, "Look here on the box what it says. 3 to 4 years." Some of you that didn't get that, please tell your neighbor, amen. So he broke a record, amen. But we're going to try today and get you out here when I get finished, amen. But if you have a copy of God's Word, please turn in your Bibles with us to the book of Psalms, the 37th chapter. Now, I'd like to first of all thank the committee and Brother Jess for letting us come and be with you today, Betty and I. Some of you that do know us, our oldest son lives in Knightdale. He has our grandson, he's in high school now, and so Somebody remember him. And our youngest son, Jared, we left here in 1982. The reason we left was for him to go to school of deaf in Wilson. He now lives in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And so we get to go up that way every now and then. A little place called Eagleville. And he's got the two prettiest granddaughters in the world, which are mine and Betty's. You hear what I said? The two prettiest. Amen. There's none no more prettier than they are. But we're just enjoying life ourselves. I'm kind of retarded now. I'm doing interim work for church over in Duplin County and enjoying it. But anyway, in the book of Psalms, the 37th chapter, if you'll stand together with us in reverence, honor, read God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Psalms 37, begin to read verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and where thou shalt be led. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way in the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And it shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patience for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Father, I thank you again so much, Lord, for letting us be here today, dear God, to have this opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk again, God, to present the word as you so give it. God, I know that I'm nothing without you, Lord. I speak as John of old. I must decrease whereby that you can increase, Lord. May this be a time, dear God, that the Holy Spirit will continue to be in our midst. Lord, we've already felt your presence. We know that you're here, God. And I pray that I'll just step aside, Lord, and you take over, Jesus. And that, Lord, what is rightly divided here this day, dear God, would be, first of all, to honor your sweet and precious name. Now, Jesus, we love you, and Jesus, we praise you, Lord. We thank you all for what you do, Lord, in our lives. And God, that one's nearest hell today, God, we pray that you'd speak to their heart also, Lord. And help us, God, again, to commit our ways, Lord, unto serving you, dear God. And for what you do for us this day, Lord, we'll be careful, God, to give you the honor, the praise, the glory of it all. For it's in the precious holy name of Jesus we do pray. And everybody say it. None of us are naive to the fact we know there's a lot been going on in our world almost for 2 years. Because of COVID and so much more right now, there's a lot of fussing going on about Afghanistan and what's going on there. A lot of people believe this, a lot of people believe that. It'll make no difference to me what you truly believe about it. I'm just glad that we're out of there, folks. But also, I wish that it had been done in a different way. If I get somebody upset about that, take it up with your pastor. Can I have amen? Amen. But anyway, I'd like to say today, folks, that as we look around in this world that we're even living in today here at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, Americans, folks, are carrying around an incredible load of stress. The U.S. News and World Report carries this statement, quote, "What would have been a simple diagnosis for doctors at Boston Mass General Hospital has suddenly become murky. Are the fatigue, respiratory distress, and insomnia symptoms of a viral infection that has been sent in Bostonians to bed. That's what physicians would have assumed a month ago. But now it is equally plausible that these same symptoms are signs of the profound psychological stress people are feeling after recent terrorist attacks, attacks that involve fights out of nearby around the world, even here in America. Both virus and stress are going around, and it is unclear which it is more virulent. And those," he said, "who are more emotionally vulnerable to begin with," says Randall Marshall, director of trauma studies at New York State Psychiatric Institute, quote, "are having powerful and disabling problems. We're seeing a relapse in panic, in depression, and psychosis," U.S. News Report World Today. You see, folks, as I've just shared with you, and we even know within our own lives, and even in some of the situations today, yet we're told not to fret. That's what the Bible says. And then perhaps this is the most broke a commandment, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. The stock market goes down, blood pressures go up, the ignorant fret because they don't know enough, the smart fret because they know too much, the poor fret because they have no money, the rich fret because they're afraid of losing what they have, the old fret because they're facing death, the young fret because of an insecure future. But I want you to know this morning, the Bible tells us that Jesus had more to say about fear, Jesus had more to say about anxiety and worry than perhaps any other subject in the Bible. At best, as we might say, folks, it is very useless to the health condition. I'm here to declare to you today, folks, that worry will kill you. Worry will drag you down. Worry will get you to the place that, folks, that you don't know what's going on in life. You could care less about anybody but yourself. You only think about yourself. And the Bible tells us, Jesus says, and there's songs about it, folks, that we're not to worry. You say, well, preacher, I gotta worry. Why do you worry, folks? Why don't you do as the Bible tells us that we give it to Jesus, folks? It never dried a tear. It never solved a problem. It never lifted a burden. And which view, the Bible says, by taking anxious thoughts can add one cubit to this stature. And folks, don't tell me now, listen to me, don't tell me that worry does good. You see, most of the things that I have worried about in my life, ladies and gentlemen, have never happened. You say, well, preacher, is that so? Some things have happened to me. Well, I believe this, folks. I believe that whenever a person comes within their time within their life and they begin to worry about things and let these things haunt them, folks, they come to the point, if you're not careful, these things will come to pass in your life because you yielded it to happen. It's the truth. You sit around and worry about it all the time. My God, why don't you get your Bible, sit down, and read what Jesus said, leave the newspaper alone, leave the boob tube alone, and think about what Jesus said. He said, when you have burdens, what do you do with them? You give them to Him, ladies and gentlemen. You turn them over to Him. I've never in my life, in my young life, almost 75 years old, folks, experienced what's going on in America today. People could care less about anybody, even the politicians, but themselves. Someone said not too long ago, folks, as I read, I believe it was Vance Havner, that late great Vance Havner, preacher of old, probably the most quoted man in America of the Bible, concerning the Bible. He said that he's found out that some politicians had begun to keep their hands in their own pocket. That's just about unbelievable, amen? Because politicians, folks, mostly are trying to get in within your pocket, amen? They could care less about anything. They don't care anything about you, folks. The Bible tells me that somebody does. And, folks, I say this, I say that we need to look at self. We need to take time to look at self and see where we're standing in relationship to God. You see, self, if you will, is kind of like sand in machinery. To others, when they walk into a room, listen to my Bible, we're getting ready to say, to others, when they walk into a room, it's like if somebody has turned off the lights. Amen? You ever been around people like that? I don't like to be around people like that. Never have. I don't care. I'll never forget, used to be a lady that lived in our community up at Winnebago. I don't care what that you ask her or what you didn't ask her. She always had something that was going wrong in her life, and it was worse than what was going on in your life. And so I made up my mind. I told my mama one day, I said, Mama, I'm never going to ask her again how she's doing. Lo and behold, it weren't 10 minutes. Here she come, drove up. She always comes to her mother's house. She come driving up. I said, Kenneth, don't you ask her how she's doing. I made up my mind. She walked up and said, well, hey, how are you, honey? I always call people honey or darling or whatever like that. The wife beats me up sometimes with that, but that's just the way I am. So if I call you honey or darling today, it don't mean that I'm trying to get married to you. Amen. I'm just being sweet because I are sweet. Amen. So I looked at her. I said, hey, Miss May. She said, well, son, I'll tell you how it is. My back is about to kill me. My legs are hurting. My knees are hurting. My neck's been hurting me all morning long. And I said, I don't want them to. And I did not ask her how she's doing. Amen. Folks, I've been around people almost 49 years in the ministry. And there's some people, folks, that they could walk into this auditorium and the lights would go out. Never have anything good to say. Always complaining. You know, Not too long ago, we drove down. Betty said she wanted to go to over to Chadburn. They have a uniform place over there. We were coming by and said she wanted to stop. This is a good one for preachers, preacher. You need to listen to this. There's two ladies there. They were standing looking at uniforms. And I heard one of them say, "You know what? That preacher last Sunday made me so mad. Said, and one of these Sundays, I'm going to walk up to him. I'm going to tell him just what I think." The other one said, "Yes, and I feel the same way, that sometimes I just love to wring his neck." I ain't joking, folks. And I thought to myself, now, they're not my members, are they? But anyway, one of them said, the other said, "You know what? And I don't understand it. What takes him 45 minutes, he could do it in 20 minutes. He just wastes his time. He's going here. He's going there. I mean, he just worries me to death. I wish he'd leave." And they kept right on talking. And so I'd had enough being a preacher. I walked over and said, "Ladies, I heard you talking a few minutes ago. Can I ask where you ladies go to church?" They said, "Yeah." And I'm going to tell you exactly where they said to go. They went to Beaver Dam Free Will Baptist Church, if you know where Beaver Dam is. And I said, "I know the preacher there." They said, "What?" And I'm going to tell you everything y'all said. And you know what one of them looked at me and said? "Well, I wished you would. Maybe you'll get mad and leave." Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's some messed up people in the world today. You know what my Bible tells me when you mess with God's man? He said it'd be the same if a millstone were tied about your neck and you were dropped in the depths of the sea. You better leave God's people alone, folks. And you know what we call it, the church, so many times? You know what I believe we ought to start calling it, Brother Jess? The family. Where the family gathers. Amen. Where the family comes together. Where the family comes together to worship God Almighty in spirit and in truth. I say yes, folks. Don't you know people can brighten their own just by leaving it also, folks? To God, listen to me. And I believe what a wound it is in the very heart of Almighty God, folks. It's the very opposite of faith. Whenever people act like this, they can care about anybody else but themselves, folks. But I find behind every command of God, folks, is the power to carry it out. So here's God's recipe, as I say today, that you're too blessed to be stressed. Number one, you need to trust in the Lord when you cannot see the way, folks. You see, the Bible said, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed." You see, the word trust comes from a Hebrew word meaning lying face down. Folks, it's the very idea of being helplessly, if you will, on the ground with no visible means of support. Your feet have been knocked out from under you. You're in a place of desperation, and in a case like that, you have no opposition. You have no option but to trust. You see, folks, trust then is not a luxury item. If you will, remember about the Red Sea. As they come to the Red Sea, to cross the Red Sea, some of the people were just so anxious to go, and Moses said, "Now it's time for us to go forward." But you know what? I believe that some people were standing there that day and saying, "Well, we'll go if they'll just build a bridge." You say, "Well, I don't know how they could be like that." Bless God, you're like that from day to day. You're like that from day to day. Whenever you don't give your problems to Almighty God, whenever you let these things wear you down and wear you out, folks, you're being the same way that those people were. I heard a story not too long ago about this girl that was walking on the beach, being down here near the beach, and whenever we lived over in the parsonage, Betty and the boys used to go down at the beach a lot. I didn't want to go. I did other things. I went with Waddell. We picked up oysters most of the time. We didn't know where it was oyster season up, but we picked up oysters. Amen. I love oysters, amen. I like them October. When's the last time? March, April, somewhere along there. I love oysters. I love fish. I love about everything you put on the table. Not quite as big as it used to be. Matter of fact, I'm about 110 pounds lighter than I used to be. Aren't I a good-looking piece of machinery? Amen. You say, "Well, you ain't got no sense." I know that, amen, but I love the Lord, amen. Some people say you act like a fanatic sometime about Jesus. But yet this, folks, I'm not a nut headed to hell. Amen. Listen, that girl was walking on the beach. She reached down and picked up a bottle, wiped the sand off of it, out popped the genie. She said, "Oh, my gosh." The genie looked at her and said, "Your wish is my command, young lady." He said, "What would you love to have today?" She said, "Well, I believe that I'd love to go to the Holy Land." He said, "Well, do you want to take a plane? Do you want to take a boat?" She said, "I ain't going either way." He said, well, how do you expect to go? She said, I can't just snap your fingers. You'll be there. She said, well, I want you to build a bridge from here to the Holy Land. He said, honey, I can't do that. He said, that's too much there. I said, I just cannot build a bridge from here, Holden Beach, all the way over to the Holy Land. He said, you got to have one more wish on your heart. She said, well, I do have another. He said, what is that, honey? I know I can grant it. What is it? She said, I wish you'd tell my husband one time that he's wrong. That he could just walk up to me and say, honey, I've been wrong. He said, darling, you want a two-lane or four-lane? Amen. Huh? I believe some of those people that day, as they stood there when Moses said, let's go forward, had the attitude, well, are we going to have a bridge? You see, folks, without the Egyptians, the Bible tells us, they never would have stepped out. And see, folks, you have to learn that this kind of trust, as Paul learned it. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of what I've learned and whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things, Paul said, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Folks, this word content, listen to me, means to be self-contained. Philippians 4:13, you know the verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What is happening here, folks? Paul was plainly saying that I'm pouring my life out to God. I'm going to let God handle my problems. I'm going to let God take care of my problems, and I'm not going to worry about him alone. You say, well, how did Paul learn this? Not by reading a book, folks. God took away all outside of assistance from Paul. He allowed him, the Bible says, to suffer need. He had folks to learn that not only was Jesus necessary, but Paul had to learn that Jesus was enough, folks. You say, well, preacher, how do you know what gives you joy? It may be wealth. It may be health. It may be family. And you can find out, folks, if you will, by the very process of elimination. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying, Jesus is all I need, and Jesus is all I'm going to have today, folks. You may never really know this until that you have these problems in your life. You may never really know this until you have the opportunity of, ladies and gentlemen, just pouring your all out to God and saying, God, I can't handle it, and so I'm giving it to you. Folks, let me tell you something. A lot of things have happened in my life. A lot of things have happened in your life. But I find out that my life has been so much better by when I just turned it over to God and let God handle it. So what are we to do in every situation that we can handle? I say trust to do good. That's what the Bible says. And folks, that is really the best proof that you're trusting. It's also the best therapy to stay busy, if you will. The Bible says, excuse me, not only I don't have COVID, amen. Not only, folks, the Bible says you need to go ahead and function. The Bible says even when you're out of work, you have a greater time to serve Jesus. Find somebody and work for nothing. And before long, you'll have a job, folks. Distressed people simply close down shop. But one of God's most frequent promises is provision. You know what Matthew 6:33 says? Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And he says, all these other things will be added in you. What am I saying? Don't worry about what you eat or drink or wear, is what the Bible says. You say, well, why is this, preacher? Not so that we'll not starve. We probably would not starve anyway, folks. You see, the unsaved seem to be doing pretty well today. If you look, most Baptist churches were overweight. Amen? When I was interviewed to a church in Lower South Carolina, never forget it, day I died. There was about, say 150 people in the auditorium that night. We'd had supper in the fellowship hall, had a time of interview. And I'm amazed what people ask preachers. Preacher, what are you going to do for the youth? You know what I say? Not a thing. Huh? You're not going to do anything for the youth? I said, let me put it this way. Don't we have old folks here tonight? Yeah, you heard some say amen. I said, what I do for the old folks, I'll do for the youth. Amen. Don't sit there like a knot on a log. If I say something good, say amen to it. Amen. I say, if you got so many youth that you can't handle them, you need to hire a youth director. Amen. I pastored a church. We had 500 in attendance. And you know who the only one took care of the situation there? Me and the good Lord. But now, bless God today, I know where a pastor friend of mine, he has right now about 10 associates. Bless his heart. You know what he does? What the Bible teaches. He studies and preaches the word. Now, I can get some people upset about that if you want me to. Amen. I can. I believe right there what that book says. That's the infallible, inerrant word God that God put forth to man. Inerrant, almighty word of God. There's no time, folks, to sit around on your haunches trying to figure out what's wrong in it, trying to figure out what's not right or whatsoever, but trying what most people do. They'll look at this, well, this verse here truly means. If you don't know what it truly means, don't go around and start repeating something that you don't understand, ladies and gentlemen. I say that you're not in Bible study. If you're not in Sunday school, if you're not in worship, if you're not at Wednesday night Bible study, you need to get yourself back in church where you belong and study the Word of God if you're saved. You folks don't believe a thing I say, do you? Pastor, isn't it wonderful if you have to go to some church to roll your own? Amen. I know you're hungry. I drove 155 miles. Just hold on. I'll be through in a minute. You see, folks, the unsaved, if we look around, seem to be doing pretty well. I've never been jealous of what anybody else has had. And God has blessed Betty and I real abundantly. I never forget one morning right back here in this room, the choir used to meet. Y'all remember that? You remember the choir used to meet right back here, right adjacent to the office? A guy walked up to me one morning. He's not here anymore. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And Betty had come up to me that morning. She said, honey, she never asked me again after that day, and that's been probably 1981. She said, honey, how much money we need to give the church today? I said, darling, whatever you got. And I think she told me that day we have $160 or $120 or something like that. And you know what I said to her that morning? I said, give it all. She said, what? That'll wipe us out. I said, give it all. A guy walked up to me that morning and said, preacher, I need to talk to you a moment. I said, can it wait till after service? He said, no, I need to talk to you right now. I'll tell his name. His name was Generate Brown. Anybody remember him? He was a godly man. Reached and shook hands with me, and I felt something in my hand. Stuck it in my pocket. After service, it was five $20 bills. You don't think God knows what you need, children? When I got down the road that evening, the car I was driving, the alternator went out on it. It cost me $100. God knows what he's doing, folks. And I'm telling you, you need to let him have first place in your life. I remember Hewlin Royals with all them girls he had. Hewlin was a hard worker, laid a many a brick to supply for them girls. Amen? Good man. There's another good one walking in the door. Hey, Junior, he's bigger than I am now. I have an amen on that. Folks, I'm just having a good time with you today. Amen? You see, the reason the Bible tells us is that why the heathen seek these things, folks, all the time, because it consumes their thoughts. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they need. But when you trust God to meet your need, folks, then you'll concentrate on him, because everybody, if you'll be careful, you have a one-track mind. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. Trust enables you to love and to serve God even in difficulty. And folks, you'd better learn to trust God, because God keeps on giving the same test until you pass it. He never grades on the curve, and he never flunks out at any time. Anyone, folks, I'll never forget when I was in seminary, we were taking a New Testament class, and it was a summer course, and the professor come in one morning, and he's about 15 minutes late, and we guys were sitting there wondering when he was going to get, and he walked in. It was our test for the month. Our ending test, and he said, are you guys happy with your test results so far this month? And every one of us held our hands up. He said, how many would like to go home now with an A? I said, amen, amen. Everybody in that class, we stood up and clapped, and we got out there, and we went out to A, amen. What am I saying? I'm saying that God will do the same thing for you, folks, if you put your trust in him. Look what the Bible says. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and it shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Why do we fret, folks? Because the source of our joy and supply is being threatened. Folks, I'm saying today you must find a source that cannot be threatened. When we delight in the Lord, folks, we've done just that. And when we do that, the Bible says the desire of our heart is truly met. You know what happens? Depression comes when our innermost beings are not met. This speaks not of surface wants or casual wishes. These cravings, folks, can be met, and we can still be depressed. The child reaches for the butterfly, and it becomes a yellow smear in his hand. Corrie Ten Boom said, quote, look around, you'll be distressed. Look within, you'll be depressed. Look at Jesus, she said, and you'll be at rest. What am I saying, folks? I'm saying to you today that God is not finished with any of us until our chief delight is in Him alone. Children, wealth, home, job. The Bible plainly tells us, folks, and we know that life will fade away. Yes, folks, I know that I'm not what I used to be as an individual. I can remember very well when I was 50 years old, things that I could do that I cannot do now. I used to go over here to Jimmy Brown's place back behind his house and cut down oak trees that big around by myself, split them up, and load them up and bring to that partridge and burn them. I cannot do that anymore. Matter of fact, if I had somebody to hire to do it, I'd do it, but I'm not planning on doing it anymore. That's why I have an electric heat pump. Amen. When the stock market crashes, people start jumping out of windows. I lost $100,000 just last week. Do you hear me? Somebody told me the best stock to buy was in the Dollar General. And I didn't buy any, so I heard I lost $100,000. Amen? You think I'm fretting about that junk? You know how I feel about that stuff, folks? The Bible tells me that my God, my Father, owns the cattle on 1,000.